evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. Hi, I'm Irene Watson, and I am the managing editor for Reader Views in Austin, Texas.
And I'm Victor Volkman from Loving Healing Press in Ann Arbor, Michigan. It's November 15th, 2007, and welcome to episode number 51 in our series. Tonight's topic is frugal book promotion, and our special guest will be joining us this hour is Carolyn Howard Johnson. You can learn more about our guests on the Authors Access website, which is authorsaccess.com. Please send your questions and comments to info@authorsaccess.com. Now tonight we're on the line with Carolyn Howard Johnson, award-winning author of the How to Do It Frugally series of books for writers. Now introducing the second book in the series, The Frugal Editor. Put your best book forward to avoid humiliation and ensure success. And this follows The Frugal Book Promoter, which was book number one in the series. Carolyn Howard Johnson's first novel, This Is the Place, won 8 awards. Her book of creative nonfiction, Hearkening, A Collection of Stories Remembered, has won 3 awards. An instructor for UCLA's Extension Service World-Renowned Writers Program, her book, The Frugal Book Promoter, How to Do What Your Publisher Won't, was named USA Book News Best Professional Book of 2004. Her second book in the How to Do It Frugally series is The Frugal Editor, and we'll be talking about that this evening. Her chapbook of poetry called Tracings was named to the Compulsive Reader's 10 Best Reads list. She is the recipient of the California Legislature's Woman of the Year in Arts and Entertainment, and her community's own Character and Ethics Committee Award gave her the award for promoting tolerance with writing. She was also named to Pasadena Weekly's list of 14 San Gabriel Valley women who make life happen. Her website is www.howtodoitfrugally.com. Good evening, Carolyn.
Wow, that is quite a nice, complete introduction, Victor. Thank you.
Okay. Hope I got it all.
Well, Carolyn, gosh, make life happen. I love it.
And so wasn't that a neat title?
It was. It's a really great title. And today we're going to make book publishing happen. And so this is really exciting to talk to you, and I like the word frugal, because to me that means that I can work on a very low budget and get my book out there. This is what I get, and I'm assuming that's what your books are about. Is that correct?
Exactly. And, you know, one of the things that's important about it is not that it's just written for people who would prefer to be frugal or people who don't have the money. Actually, the kinds of promotion that we do for our books that doesn't cost anything generally is more effective than the kinds that we do that do cost us money. So, and I learned that really the hard way after having had a publicist background. I worked in New York as a publicist in the fashion industry, which is a far cry from the book industry. So when I started promoting my own book, once I realized I needed to do that, there was still a whole lot to learn. And I actually hired a book publicist and spent a nice, small inheritance. Some people would consider it huge in terms of what it costs to publicize a book with a publicist. It was small. That got completely wasted. It was a total waste of money, excepting for the fact that I learned that the best person to promote a book in general is the author herself. And furthermore, the only person who's probably going to promote a book the way it should be promoted is the author herself or himself, Victor. So that's how I got started with my how-to books. Before that, I was just a novelist and poet and short story writer. It never occurred to me that I'd ever write a how-to book for other authors. But I'm sorry about that phone in the background. That is my fax machine, and it didn't dawn on me to turn it off. Well, it will go off in a minute.
Gosh, Carolyn, you know, this is great, because I would think that because you had the experiences before, this actually enabled you to read or write these books because of the experience you had with publicists that didn't work. You know, I hear so many horror stories, and the other day I was talking to an author, and he had spent $12,000 with a publicist, and all they were able to sell for him were 6 books. He was wanting TV or newspaper or anything to get out there, and it just didn't happen. And out of the $12,000 they spent, he got six books sold. So, you know, there are horror stories in what
you're
saying.
It makes you cry, doesn't it? And I just
no kidding.
About it.
But there again, because you have that experience on your own books, now you're able to say, okay, this is how you really do it. And one thing I noticed on your website, which is really catchy, and this is another frugal way of advertising, is saying that for 5 cents per day, you can make an investment. And the investment is your book, which is just a little over $18, and you get tons of information. And
exactly. It's you get the benefit of all my experience, which is one of the reasons that I think that the Frugal Book Promoter has done well against, let's face it, people with far more famous names, at least at the time that I wrote it, than mine. And that is that there's not one thing in there that I didn't experiment with, that I didn't do. I tried everything. And I had the same experience as the person that you described. You know, all that money, and nothing happened. And of course, one of the reasons that nothing happens is that publicity is not about a flash in the pan. Publicity is about little bits at a time, building on one another, frequency, motivation, you know, working something over and over again, going back to it, trying something new, letting it all build on itself, and pretty soon something starts to happen. And nobody can afford that kind of attention from a publicist. The publicist is set up to do, well, different publicists are different, but they might run off a run for libraries. Librarians know about you, and they might do something similar for independent booksellers, as an example. But that isn't enough. That's just a little start. You need to start and keep at it, keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. And some things work better than others, and some things work better for some authors than others. A lot of people say, well, I don't like to promote. And then when I say, well, what do you do? They say things, well, what do you like to, what are you doing now? Well, I really love to do my newsletter. Well, you know what? That's promotion. So there's a way for everybody to promote, no matter what their personality. My favorites are speaking and teaching. I'm the kind who likes to be out there in front of people. But if you prefer to sit behind your computer, there are dozens of ways to do it that way, too.
Great. Yeah, that's a great start to the conversation. I'm really curious to hear about the things that don't work.
And
I can talk about the things that do. How about co-op book flyer mail-outs?
How about that? I find that just about anything co-op isn't as valuable as something that you do on your own.
Okay.
Because it gets diluted. On the other hand, it can be less expensive. Going back to the reason why they aren't, they're not as original. They don't allow you to let your personality shine. They don't allow you to target your audience. I'll give you an example.
Sure.
When This Is the Place first came out, and that was the one I was learning on, remember, it's set in Utah, and it came out just before the Winter Olympics in Salt Lake City. So that was an angle that my past experience as a publicist told me that I could plumb. Instead of sending notices out to the library that just said it had been published, I started with the libraries in Utah. I spread out to the libraries in Arizona, where there's a big Mormon population. I did all the Intermountain West for the same reason. Then I went national. And, you know, little by little, but with each state, I tried to mention something that was in the novel that would appeal not only about the Olympics, but to the people in that state. As an example, the final chapter is set in New York City. So when I did the New York State ones, I mentioned that's where the protagonist ends up with. Is in New York City as a small town girl having come east for the very first time. So that interested them, and it got placed in quite a few libraries in New York, and it might not have without that specific targeted paragraph. Is this a lot more work? Yes, but the results are greater, so you have to weigh that.
Yeah, I see what you mean. That's definitely a very good strategy to go with. Here's a stickler for you. Is it possible to do any kind of book tour on a budget?
Yes, a book blog tour.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's one of my favorites. As far as the budget is concerned, I did a real book tour I know some people who combine them with vacations. What I did was, at first I just took one and paid for most of it myself.
Uh-huh.
And it wasn't particularly effective, even though I always called the city ahead of time, tried to get on a TV station, which was often successful, tried to get on a radio station in that city, which was often successful, tried to make sure that my books were in one specific bookstore so that I could mention that on the radio or TV program. And that worked relatively well, but not super well. And it certainly didn't pay if you weighed the number of books I sold against what it was costing me.
Right.
So the way I did it from then on and the way I still do it is I do spot tours. And if I'm going to a city to speak at a writer's conference or if I'm going to a city to visit a friend, then that becomes, in quotes, a book tour or a book spot. And I contact people who, you know, the radio stations, the TV stations, the library there, make sure they have my books, that kind of thing, set it up in advance. And maybe only do it one book signing at a time. But if it's a large city, maybe I could do two or three, 20 to 50 miles apart. So a lot depends on the area. But that's much more effective. Another trick for doing that and making it effective is to contact the people that you do know in the area and ask them to invite their friends to your book signing.
Oh, yeah.
Because all authors, I don't know a single author who hasn't gone to a book signing and just been miserable. You know, you sit there and you expect something big. You've been on TV after all, right?
Sure.
And maybe six people show up and three of them actually buy a book, and everybody who goes by your table wants to know where the new Stephen King book is. You know, it's the story of our lives.
You're killing me.
You've been there, see, I know. So, you know, basically, you said you'd like to know the things that don't work. Most things don't work unless we know how to work them. And that's what the Frugal Book Promoter really does. It teaches you how to figure out the angles using your own book and teaches you how to work them. By the way, I have a blog that actually talks about value-added promotions for book fairs, which are another thing that often aren't terrifically successful. It's authorscoalition.blogspot.com. And it just talks about using the fair that you're going to pay for anyway to center your promotions around. So you have a catalog. You do a CD that you give away. You do a slideshow. You try to speak at that fair. All kinds of ways that you can make that work for you. And it becomes a huge success even if you only sell a few books.
Yeah.
See, it isn't really all about how many books you sell.
Exactly.
It's about this building, this branding, this building your brand, building your, not your title, but building on yourself as an author.
Cool.
So that's what you're really doing. If you promote a title only, you're not going to be a one-shot, hopefully, writer. You're not only going to write one book. I mean, Harper Lee did, and that worked for her, but it doesn't work for very many people. Pretty soon they're forgotten. So you're going to be writing another book. And the next book might not fit so patly into what you've done with promotion the first time around. So how many people can name all of Stephen King's books? Not too many, probably. But everybody knows Stephen King. He's branded his name. And that works even for somebody like me who writes in all different directions. My novel's really a literary novel. My poetry's about as far away from a how-to book as you can get. But there is some crossover between those and the how-to books. Not a lot, but some. People can see how I did that by going to howtodoitfrugally.com. You'll see that there's an actual section that's dedicated to the poetry and the literary work as opposed to the more practical stuff for writers.
Carolyn, I would like to just make a switch over to your second book, in the series, and this time to talk a little about The Frugal Editor. And one of the chapters you have titled, I love it, Why You, Yes You Who Ace English, and I'm going to add and use a spell checker, need this book.
Well, that's directed
I love it.
Yeah, that's directed at all of us authors who get real highfalutin and think we never have to that we don't have to keep learning. And it's really hard for me. It's not so hard for me to attract brand new authors. They know, you know, the brand new publishers, the ones who are just going into their first book, they generally know or will soon get a really strong indication that they need to know how to promote and that they need to know how to edit. Because just like promotion, publishers don't edit very well anymore either. So, you know, those things come crashing down on their heads and they know. It's really the older authors, those of us who've been around for a while, who start getting really comfortable. You know, we've been successful, we're doing this, we're doing that. But, you know, there's just so much to learn, and just because we aced English doesn't mean that the stuff we learned as a junior in high school is going to cut it when it comes to editing our books. Editing is a whole different thing than only grammar or only typos or only punctuation, a huge different thing than those things. So although those are included in the Frugal Editor, people who purchase that and read it will also find that editing has a great deal to do with, are you ready for this, marketing?
No way.
Yeah.
Okay, you've got me hooked. Tell me.
Okay. Okay, because the things that you send in when you very first, you know, whether it's to a contest judge or whether it's to a publisher or whether it's to try to get an agent, those are all first impressions, aren't they? And if you send something that makes a bad first impression, you may have shot yourself in the foot before you even get started. So your editing is all about your marketing and all about your making the kind of impression that will get those gatekeepers to read your work so that your work at least gets a shot at getting published or a shot at getting an award. And sometimes the things that people put in their query letters, as an example, are perfectly grammatical. Their English teacher, I don't even know people who send their work to their old English teachers to edit. It doesn't work that way. The English teacher won't know, as an example, that agents are bloody tired of having every query letter that goes across their desk say, are you ready for this? I always wanted to write. So you've taken up a whole line in a query letter when you've only got a page to do it, right? And you told them something that annoys them and that hasn't really told them anything, when you could have told them something more specific. I've taken 12 classes at UCLA Extension Writers Program. Even though I'm a brand new writer, I feel I'm coming, it's getting so I know what I'm doing. That's refreshing. They want to know that. That shows them something. It shows that you're enthused, that you're doing your homework. They're going to open that manuscript. So I knew that because I get a lot of that kind of query letter myself. But that was also, I also interviewed almost 100 agents, and that was the number one thing they said that they were tired of getting, was I always wanted to write. But there are other things like that, too, a whole list of them. And those are all quoted in the chapter on query letters in the Frugal Editor. So the other thing they hate is using Italianate words. Suddenly we get real formal, you know. We decide we're writing a query letter. We've got to sound, I don't know, business-like. So we start using words like purchase instead of just buy. And one time I was watching TV, that program where they interview actors, I think it's on cable TV, and someone asked Meg Ryan what word she hated the most, and she said, enjoy. She says, I get so tired of people saying, oh, I really enjoy it, when all they mean is they really like it or love it. Can't they just say they really like it or love it? So, you know, just simple language. Just talk the way you talk. Clean it up a bit. You know, make sure there are no typos. But don't get all formal and stiff and use words that you wouldn't normally use. That's another one.
Yeah, that makes sense. So what are some of the things that you should do in making an effective query letter?
Well, one of the things most first-time authors, especially people who don't know about that authors need something called a platform, which again goes back to that thing about marketing, is they don't realize that they have to let an agent or a publisher know that they're well capable of promoting their book. So they completely leave out just a few sentences that let them know that let them know they've taken a class or that they've had a newsletter out or that they've been building a contact list, that, you know, a list of friends and people who are interested in their subject matter, that they have a list of media contacts. Anything that they've got, they need to mention. And maybe even attach like a little mini book proposal to their manuscript showing how wonderfully adept they are at promotion, because that's getting to be more and more important all the time. If an agent has two books they love equally and they can only take on one more this month, and they're really having a hard time making up their mind, that aspect of an author that he or she can promote will tip the scale for them.
Yes, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about the other part, which is the book plan that you mentioned.
Okay. Well, one of the things that you don't know about because it just happened is next week Amazon is publishing something called Amazon Short, and it's called The Great First Impression Book Proposal. I'm not sure I could even remember the subtitle exactly. It's brand new, but something like how to learn how to sell your book in 20 minutes or less. And the reason I chose Amazon and that short, it's 10,000 words shorts are, format is because people really hate to learn. They hate to write a book proposal.
Yeah.
And they hate to learn how to write a book proposal. And there are lots of really good book proposal books out there, including one by Terry Whalen and another one by Michael Larson. But people don't seem to be willing to go clear through an entire book to learn it. It's total drudgery. So I thought of this great first impression book proposal idea that they can learn in 20 minutes or less when I was working with one of my clients on a book proposal. And he was the same way. He didn't want to have anything to do with that book proposal. He was willing to pay me my consultation fees rather than learn it himself. So that's when I got started on it, and it will be out probably next week on Amazon. And it's only 49 cents, so it's almost like my gift to you. And what that does is that one of the big things that does is that outlines all of the things that an author can do or will do or has done to promote their book. And it lets people know that that they're savvy about that, that they know that they're going to have to do some book tours, and that they know that they can't just show up and hope for the best, that they're going to have to do something to promote it, something to make it successful. They're going to need lists. Even Amazon Shorts wanted. I spent probably 3 hours after Amazon Short accepted this book proposal piece, just giving them the information they needed on how to promote it. They wanted lists.
Wow.
They wanted my media list. They would use their own media list, but they wanted anything that I had that was specifically mine. They wanted groups that I belonged to, tons of stuff like that.
Yeah, tell us more about Amazon Shorts. I'm sure it's very competitive. And how do you go about getting there?
Well, there is a after you once have an account with Amazon, you should set up a profile page if you're an author anyway, but a lot of non-authors have them as well.
Sure.
And somewhere on that page, they move them around all the time, will be a link to Shorts or services or something like that. And when you find that link on your profile page, you can look up the information on how to apply. I believe that you have to already have been published in some way, and your work has to be for sale on Amazon. I think that they will allow that to be a part of an anthology, but you already have to have had published a book in order for that to work for you.
Yeah.
So once you've done that, then you're eligible. And I have friends who have published short stories. I have friends who have published small books of poetry that way. And it is really fun, and it's a wonderful way to kind of not only give back inexpensively to your readers, but also to further expose your own work. Again, that branding thing, the fact that you've got a short up that's being well promoted by Amazon certainly doesn't hurt.
Yeah.
And Carolyn, I just want to interject here. I have a question about Amazon. I was watching the video on your website, and you were talking to the person that was interviewing you. You had mentioned that you send people that want to buy your book to Amazon, and I found that really interesting because a lot of authors, especially self-published ones, really resist the fact of listing their book on Amazon because, oh, they have a million reasons.
I
want to hear the one reason, and you have only one. Well, I'm sure you have others, but it's such a great reason why to list on Amazon.
Yes. Well, when I first started promoting on Amazon, they weren't as author-friendly as they are now. And, yes, they do sell used books. But, you know, that's something that I tell authors to just give up on. It's not going to go away. People have been passing books around, giving away books, selling used books since books were first published. You know, if Amazon doesn't sell used books, they're going to give them to Goodwill. They're going to go to Goodwill to buy their used books. You know, they're going to be out there. So Amazon would be foolish to give up that big feature, and they're not going to be talked into giving it up, which is it's a good source of revenue for them and a good service for their customer, because you've told them that you don't like them. It's not going to work. So my advice is to just swing with that. Forget it. You're not going to change the world anyway. And instead go in the other direction and use all of the perks now that, by the way, there's a chapter in the Frugal Book Promoter on some of the basic perks that Amazon offers. And they're really excellent and can be used so advantageously because Amazon is a targeted audience. You have people who read books, and that's who you're after. But in addition to that, you can target through Listmanias, through an essay thing that they do called So You'd Like To. You can target the specific kind of reader that you want. If you write mysteries, if you write genre fiction of some kind, if you write how-tos, you can find the reader that you want and let them know about your book by using Amazon perks. There's no other online site that does it that well. And no bookstore does it that well either. Bookstores are not the best place to sell books. So, yep, that's where I send them. I send them to Amazon. I love to see my ratings go to skyrocket on Amazon. I like to see my books in the top 100, preferably the top 10. And if people are buying my books on Amazon, that's what's happening. So that's where I send them. Now, some people will say, well, I've sent people to barnesandnoble.com because I'm hoping if I sell a lot of books on barnesandnoble.com that Barnes & Noble bookstores will pick them up. It doesn't work that way. They are two entirely separate entities. It's just not going to – I mean, it's not going to happen for that reason. There are ways to get your books into barnesandnoble.com, I mean, Barnes & Noble Bricks and Mortars, but that isn't the way to do it. So you're right. You saw me admit to it, didn't you, on my video on my website?
Yes, it was great, and I thought, yes, this is great. We need to talk about that. One thing I want to talk about, too, and I heard this again today. I hear this so often from wannabe authors, and just I'm going to kind of quote verbatim here. What I hear is, I want to get a publisher to publish my book, and I want to be on TV, and I want to be in large newspapers.
Uh-huh. Well, don't we all?
Yes,
and you know
do.
What? You know what? If you work really hard, it will happen. And sometimes if you don't work very hard, it will happen. But that is so rare. We all know that. We all know all those people who have overnight success, including the movie stars, really worked at their craft and worked at their publicity for a good decade before that happened, don't we?
Yeah.
So, you know, you might get lucky and get on Oprah, but Oprah finds most of her guests not by stuff that's sent to her, but by people who are out there in the ether who she finds. So my advice is to get out there in the ether. And I'll give you an example. You know those little flyaway newspapers that you see when you walk into restaurants? They're usually on little racks outside of Denny's or wherever.
Yeah.
And people just kind of ignore them. But when you walk in, if you look around the restaurant, you'll see several people, especially people who are eating alone, reading those fly-by-night papers, I call them. You can get so much more action. Read that in quotes, sales. And I don't talk sales very often, but book sales from those little newsletters, those little newspapers, than you can by having something published, an ad or something like that, in the New York Times. I cannot tell you how much more effective they are. And the reason is that somebody gets the New York Times and they read what, maybe one-eighth of everything that's in there, if they're lucky. So your stuff gets passed over. The readership is very small. It costs you a fortune if it's an ad. If it's publicity and it's unpaid for, it will be more effective than ads. But when somebody gets one of those little papers, they really read them, and they really trust them. And some of them become very avid fans. I wrote a small piece which I gave away to a lovely little paper in Palm Springs called The Desert Woman. It was a piece on genealogy. And I got a byline and I got a tagline. That's the little thing that, you know, like a little bio at the bottom of your piece that tells who you are and what you've written. And that's all I got. There was no picture. It wasn't fancy or anything. Plus the article that I'd written myself. And I got more fan mail, in quotes, if you can call that fan mail, from that one thing that I've gotten from any other thing that's ever been published in a newspaper, including the Daily News in the LA Times.
Wow.
People wanted to talk to me about that article. They'd really read it. They were dedicated readers. Don't ask. It's just the way it works.
Yeah,
so I'll give you another example. On Amazon, that's So You'd Like to Feature.
Yeah.
Where you post an essay, and then you post books that are related to your essay, and that essay then gets up on the pages of the books that you post with your essay. That's how it works. I did one on dieting. Now, that has nothing to do with any of the books that I've written, but I got tired of repeating my wonderful diet that I went on after I had cancer to all my friends, and I thought, well, if it's up there, I can just give them a URL for it, you know, an address for it, and they can just go. So I posted it, and I posted a lot of the biggest diet books, like Atkins Diet, on it, along with the essay. That has now had something like 45,000 hits.
Wow.
If you published a piece of your own in the LA Times, it wouldn't get read 45,000 times. You know, your piece will be on the floor in somebody's garage with dog poop on it,
yeah,
but it will not get read 45,000 times. So that's the kind of thing that can happen with some of these small outlets. It doesn't happen all the time. You know, you sometimes get lucky. But when it does, look what it does for you. Now, one of these days, Oprah's going to come along and look at that diet essay, and she might have me on her program. And then how will I bring my book into that? Well, I'll say that the way that I started that diet was when I got cancer, and the other big thing that I did besides go on special diet was I started to write. And I wrote This Is the Place, and I wrote Hearkening, and I wrote my book of poems called Tracings. And those are the things that helped me get better, far better than any kind of surgery that I had. I didn't have radiation, and I didn't have chemotherapy. And I got better. I'm more than 12 years healed.
Congratulations.
So that would be a good story for her, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I wrote it to her, and she didn't pay any attention to it. But if one of her people finds it on Amazon, she might. Who knows? When the universe decides it's time, it'll be time, I guess is what I'm saying.
Right. I was at talking about this stuff at the Motown Writers Conference in Detroit on Sunday, and I was mentioning, you know, you can make a top 10 list of books and then put your book on it. And if someone is browsing through one of those other books, they'll see the list, and they'll go to the list, and then they'll see you on the list.
Right. Yeah, you're talking about the Amazon list manias, right?
Yeah, list manias.
Right. And the more you do it, again, it's not a stab in the dark. I have, I don't know, 27 So You'd Like To's and 87 list manias, Victor.
Oh, my gosh, you're crazy.
Well, I've only been doing, I know, I didn't do them all at once. I didn't sit down and write it, you know, take the time I'd take to write a book to do them. I've been doing them for you know, since my first book was published in 2001.
Yeah, it could do
so a little bit at a time, and you know what I'm talking about, perseverance. It adds up. So, you know, we just keep at it, right?
Exactly. Keep hammering away.
Right. I'm glad to hear you're using it.
Yeah, it's one of the great, there's so many hidden ways of guerrilla marketing you can use Amazon to get your way.
Right.
I just uploaded my first video review today. I'm real geeked about that.
All right. I had terrible luck with a book trailer that I paid to have done.
Oh,
it was
really?
Just awful. It was so bad that I couldn't put it on my website. I think it is still up on YouTube somewhere, and there wasn't anything I could do about having it taken down without hurting the person's feelings who made it for me.
Right.
So, but now I did get that video made that you saw, and I'm pretty happy with that. It's pretty direct. And I think it will do me a lot more good than a book trailer per se. That's another thing, obviously, that I found didn't work.
Gosh, Carolyn, thank you so much. This has been such an enlightening evening, and got notes all over the place. And I know that our listeners are going to go to your website, which is howtodoitfrugally.com. Again, it's howtodoitfrugally.com. Frugly.com, Frugly is with two L's, and I know that they're going to have all kinds of information that they will be able to pull off, and I spent quite a bit of time on your website, Carolyn. It's a great website. There's a lot of information, and of course, your two books are on there, too, and thanks again for spending the time with us.
Yes, thank you, Carolyn. You've been listening to another podcast edition of Authors Access, where authors get published and published authors get successful. We'll be back on the air in about 2 weeks from now. We would love to hear from you about tonight's show. Please send your questions and comments to info@authorsaccess.com. Authors Access is a joint production of Reader Views Incorporated and Loving Healing Trust.
And for Reader Views, this is Irene Watson in Austin, Texas, saying good night. And I'll see you next time.
Okay, for Loving Healing Press, this is Victor Volkman in Ann Arbor, Michigan, wishing you all a good evening and happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back in 2 weeks.